The Second World War, which was also rife with petroleum objectives and rivalries, fully established the United States as both global oil hegemon and economic commander-in-chief of the West. This eased, although it did not end, the old oil squabbles with the British and French. However, strategists in the State Department, the Pentagon, and headquarters of the U.S. oil giants well knew that another wrenching adjustment loomed. While at war from 1941 to 1945, the United States had been drawing down its own oil, while one geological survey after another identified the Middle East, with the world's biggest reserves, as the next great regional supplier. The 50s and 60s were to provide a relative lull. Then the unique relationship between oil and government in the United States would once again take center stage. Not that Americans of 1952 or even 1966 worried about this much. The Cold War was the obvious threat, the Soviet Union the great enemy. The Middle East, at least in the minds of Long Island or Peoria, was still the Hollywood movie set of Casbahs and camel drivers. Equal complacency guided the U.S. automobile culture of oversized cars with oversized tail fins, as well as the oil-burning proliferation of airlines, suburbs, and regional shopping centers. However, before we turn to the 1970s and the subsequent three-decade rise of petroleum-driven U.S. foreign policy, and two presidential generations of the oil-backed Bush family, it is necessary to consider another dimension. The buoyant but ultimately parochial political culture that developed around oil, its local production, and its vast consumption in the 20th century United States. Oil and automobile culture and 21st century American politics. After 150 years of national exuberance, most Americans cannot be expected to easily separate oil's uncertain future from its prolific past. The romance of gushers and boomtowns, the march of the population across the continent, the fuel supply that never lost its abundance, a citizenry far more residentially and vocationally mobile than their European ancestors, and the endless celebration of the open road, to say nothing of nearly a century of national success. Memories are becoming dangerously nostalgic. Whatever their great-grandparents thought of John D. Rockefeller, whatever their parents thought or still think of big oil, 21st century Americans display a growing fondness for the old gusher sites, gas stations, and Gulf, Esso, and Mobil signs. Museums are proliferating, especially in the leading energy states, gathering what Europeans might call the detritus of empire. The last of the old Kern County, California oil derricks, a shell-shaped shell service station from the 1920s, replicas of World War II oil tankers, ancient gas pumps with ancient prices, and yellowed newspaper headlines touting the flag-bedecked opening of the Pennsylvania Turnpike in 1940 or the crowd that raced out from Beaumont in 1901 to see Spindletop spout. The California Oil Museum outside Los Angeles, capital of America's highway mentality, takes pride in its collection of gas station artifacts. Particular nostalgia seems to attach to architecture of America's post-World War II automotive heyday. Drive-in movies and hamburger joints, roadhouses and ancient motels, as well as gas stations meticulously restored to their 1947 or 1954 appearance. Ohio, for example, is home to a thriving Society for Commercial Archaeology. The spring 2004 issue of its journal featured an article on early neon signs, "The Landscape of Spinning Sombreros and Electrified Teepees, Restoring New Mexico's Route 66 Signs." Washington State, in turn, has a lost highway museum, while a St. Louis firm called Primarily Petroliana handles oil and gas swap meets and auctions, featuring gas station antiques, oil industry collectibles, and auto industry memorabilia. Clearly, the reminiscence is fond. The United States has 15 to 20 widely listed oil and gas museums and 30 or so less noted county and regional facilities. Of the total, more than half are in Texas, Oklahoma, California, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, and Kansas.